Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16. In her message titled, Already, Not Yet, Megan Close tells us that we have been called into a mysterious adventure. It might be scary, but God has promised us eternal life if we align with God and give love and grace like He does. Let us now join Miss Close as she explains God's Word.
Please be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins to God, who is loving and righteous, God embraces us and welcomes us home. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, you call us to do good, seek justice, and care for those in need. Yet how often we place our own comforts above those of brothers. Forgive us, we pray, and cleanse us from these and all our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is merciful and kind, and though our sins are like scarlet, they become like snow. Be at peace, for your sins are washed clean by the goodness of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our next reading is from a letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, 8 through 16, can be found on page 225 of the New Testament section of your Bible, if you'd like to read along. Hear what the Spirit says to you today. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going, but by faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of that same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed they were strangers and foreigners on earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I don't like this sermon that I wrote. I wrote it at one point in the week, and as my week has progressed, it has come to me that there's a more pressing message that I would like to share. And since we know each other a little bit, I'm going to risk it. So please, this is going to be a little rougher maybe than it might have been otherwise, but please bear with me because this is what is on my heart and I feel moved to share it with you. It's really a personal witness, and I don't mean it to be indulgent. I hope that there is something in it that you can resonate with and that will be helpful for you. So have you ever wished that you could turn back? Have you ever wished that you could, like, literally turn back in your driving or walking on a road? Several years ago, my husband and I were in Alaska, and we stopped at some park that promised salmon and a view of a waterfall. And this park had very vague maps. And so we started on what we thought would be like a simple and easy half-mile loop on a lovely forest path. And after about 15 minutes, we crossed an adorable wooden footbridge that had trout spawning in the creek below, or had salmon spawning in the creek below. And according to the map, as we understood it, the waterfall should be about, you know, around a couple more bends, and then we would be back at the car. So 20 minutes and several switchbacks later, the waterfall was nowhere in sight, and my leg, which I had injured earlier in the week, was throbbing. And so I began to despair a little bit. And we were in that place of wondering if we should turn around or should we push on? Because clearly we had no idea if we were more than halfway where we wanted to be. So we pushed on. Have you ever wished that you could turn back time? Like, I wish I could turn back this morning about an hour earlier so that I would have realized we had a problem and had time to deal with it and get here on time. But let me tell you that this is just sort of the latest incident in how my week has gone. If I could turn back time to about this time last Sunday, I would, so that I would be better fortified for the week that I've had. It started last Sunday when my nephew, who was an unaccompanied minor, United Airlines lost him for about 90 minutes at Dulles. And let me tell you, my heart was in my mouth. I knew that he had to be somewhere because how big is an airport, but oh my God. And then I proceeded to spend some time every day this week in some kind of doctor's office. A couple of the appointments were planned. Then Scooby, my dog, Tuesday night, suddenly couldn't jump up on the couch. And he couldn't do stairs. And so I took him to the emergency vet, and it was inconclusive, so they sent us home with pain meds. And then Thursday, my nephew woke up and he couldn't put weight on his foot. And he's from Japan, so he has no insurance. So we spent the day in the morning in one urgent care facility, which sent us to another urgent care facility that had an x-ray. And so that was not what I had planned to do that day. And then Friday, Scooby's pain was worse. He was deteriorating. So I spent more time back at the emergency vet, and we came away with stronger drugs and an appointment for a neurology consult next week. And so, you know, if I could turn back time, I would have insisted at the airport that they let us go to the gate. I would have told my nephew not to wear his Crocs, but to wear his tennis shoes and, like, to be careful getting in and out of the shower because, you know, he's only 11 years old. It's not like he knows how to get in and out of his shower. And And my dog, I would have maybe magically noticed some change in his gait or something earlier that would have indicated that he needed to be seen. Or maybe if I could turn back time far enough, we wouldn't even have gotten a dog in the first place, so that my heart wouldn't be where it is today. Except, you know, he has brought so much love to our family and our lives that it's better that I can't turn back time. And in my own personal journey, my own spiritual journey, as you might remember, I came sort of late to this calling. This is sort of my third incarnation. And it's not like I went kicking and screaming, but it had to kind of grow on me. And as it's grown, it also has not, my ministry has not sort of rolled itself out like this flower-lined carpet waiting for me. The church has not said, oh my God, finally you're here. I have applied for a lot of positions. I'm waiting to hear about a couple of things. But nothing is done yet. Nothing is definite. I don't have a plan. I don't have anything secure. And sometimes I am in Starbucks and I just think, I could be a barista. I think I have always wanted to be a barista. I think I have always wanted to work in retail. And it is tempting. I am tempted to say, you know, this isn't working out quite the way I thought it would, but so I'll just have a fourth incarnation. And the letter to the Hebrews that I just read has some mystery around it. Many scholars today believe it was not written by Paul, although it might have been written by one of his followers, somebody in his circle. And it's not even clear that it's written to Hebrews, to Jewish Christians. But what is clear, however, is that his audience is in a time of persecution. And the author is afraid that they are in danger of turning back on their faith, that they are in danger of returning to whatever they did before they came to Christ. And the author of the letter is exhorting them not to turn their back on Christ, but to keep moving forward toward the fulfillment of God's new covenant, even though it is hard. Even though the way is not clear, even though it seems dangerous. And it is dangerous if they're being persecuted. So the portion that we read is very small, and one of the reasons that, it's very small, and what follows this is several more examples from the Hebrew Bible. So our portion talked about Abraham and Sarah and how Abraham, God said, Abraham, move. Go to a land I will show you. And Abraham does. So if you felt the call of God saying, Bob, go, would you pack up the car and just get on the road and be like, oh, God will tell me where to go? I certainly would not. But Abraham did. And he had to live for a while in that journey before he got to the place that God showed him. He had to live as an alien and a foreigner in a land. And eventually he did arrive at the place that God showed him, that God promised him. But it took a really long time. It was not A to B. It was like A to B to C to D to E. And God promised Abraham that he would have offsprings that would populate the world, that it would fill a nation more numerous than the stars in the sky, more numerous than the sands on the shore. And Abraham is really old at this point, and his wife was really old at this point, and they had never been able to have children. And Abraham took him at his word. Abraham proceeded in faith as if God's promise was already underway. And in fact, God's promise was already underway. One of the reasons that people think that the letter to the Hebrews might have been written to Hebrews, to Jewish Christians, is that the author pulls so many examples from the Hebrew Bible, from the Old Testament. And so the author is clearly expecting the audience to get these references, to understand the story of Abraham and Sarah. But the author is presenting those stories not in and of themselves, as they would have been taught in Jewish tradition, but he's looking at them through a lens, or she is looking at them through a lens of Christ having fulfilled those promises. And so the author is saying, just as Abraham was called into this mysterious adventure, we are being called into this mysterious adventure, this uncertain future. And just as God provided for Abraham, Christ, God, as we know the Godhead through Christ, will provide for us. And just as it was difficult and scary and unpredictable for Abraham, it might be difficult and scary and unpredictable for us. But that's the way it is. And we know from the stories that have gone before that God delivers, and so we know that God is delivering for us. And so we must live as Abraham and Sarah lived. We must live as people seeking a homeland. We must not be satisfied with being dissatisfied. We must not be satisfied with things are not the way I want them to be, and so I'm giving up on this. My life, my job, my house isn't what I wanted. My family isn't what I wanted. My job isn't what I wanted. I mean, how many of us have made plans based on what we expected would happen, and then something else happened? A friend comes to mind. She and her husband really stretched to buy a tiny house in Falls Church City because they planned to have kids, and they heard the schools were really good there. So they had this teeny tiny house, and then they had triplets. And two of them have autism, and so they don't go to the public schools anyway. It happens to all of us. But the point of seeking a homeland is that this earth, our lives here, are important, but they are not final. And what our real home is, what our real foundation is in God and aligning our hearts with God's desire, with God's will and God's work. The point of seeking a homeland is to desire that better country, that heavenly city where we will become one with God. And not only that, the author of Hebrews says that the faithful who lived that way, who live as they are supposed to, not even they see the promises fulfilled before they die. He says the faithful died having only seen the promises from afar, and they greeted them. And that sounds like a terrible marketing strategy to me. I mean, who would buy anything? Who would vote for anyone who promised, this is what you're going to get, except you're not really going to see it? You'll be able to see it, but you can't really have it. There's a theology in our Christianity that, and you might have heard this, David may have talked about it, about already, not yet. Is that familiar to you? So if you think of it as a Venn diagram, so here, well, let's see, I'll do it for you guys. So here is life before, the history, time before Christ. So you got this, you know, circle here. And then here is life after Christ. So you got these two overlapping circles. And this piece right here between before Christ and after Christ, this is where we are. We are not fully in God. We are not fully in Christ. God's kingdom has not been fully recognized on earth, but it has begun. It is recognizable. It is not fulfilled, but is fulfilling. And that is what the author of Hebrews is talking about, saying, you know what, I know it's not perfect. And you know what, it's probably never going to be perfect, but it's going to be perfect enough. And I have to say, from my experience where I am in ministry, I do not have a church. I do not have a hospital. I am supply preaching. I'm on call as a chaplain at a couple of places. I don't have a permanent identity. I'm kind of a sojourner, an alien in the land of ministry. But everything I do is ministry. So I don't have a tidy title. I don't have a permanent clear plan. It's a little complicated if people really want to know what I'm doing at a cocktail party. I'm sort of like, well, you know, but I glimpse it. I am living ministry. It is not how I expected it to be, because my ministry doesn't look like what you usually think of as a minister. But I am already a minister. I am already glimpsing God's kingdom in my work. And let me tell you, it's pretty jazzy. And so I invite you, because we know that just as the Hebrew Bible had stories and lessons that were true for the Christians of the New Testament, the early Christians of the New Testament, that the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament have lessons and truths that are true for us. So consider your life. Consider the places in your life this week where you are tempted to say, it's not perfect. And use the lens of already, not yet, but already. Not perfect, but perfect enough. For God has prepared a city for us. And we are getting there. And now, to the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish far more than we can ask or even imagine, to God be the glory in Christ Jesus and in the church from generation to generation. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Close, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
My brothers and sisters, we come to the end of our worship and the beginning of our work. So as you go forth this week, consider that wherever you go, God is sending you there. Wherever you find your place, yourself, God has placed you there so that the love of Christ that dwells in your heart may reach out to those who are around you. And now, may the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tomorrow, and all your tomorrows to come. Amen.